This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Good thing that the home side is playing better hockey of late, because this weather deserves to be punted on first down. I am so tired of it, Marty, and I don't like to be angry guy when it comes to things well beyond my control, but I'm a little unsettled with this.
I'm unsettled too, because I thought, oh, everything's going to melt. Everything's going to be like perfectly and whatever. Yeah. Two problems with that. When you have dogs and it melts, you have landmines everywhere. So now I'm like, I should have picked that up when it was frozen.
How are you still not doing that? Shame on you. My goodness.
Shame on me.
You're older than I am, for crying out loud.
I know. So there's landmines everywhere. Number two is it's raining, but it's still at the temperature where the rain is turning into ice. So everything is icy in the backyard right now. Yeah. Like the dogs are coming out and they're looking at me like, what are you doing? Now the roads are cleared and everything is fine and that's good, right? But there is definitely, as producer Jeff is in, landmine problem in the Biron backyard.
You want to start with a little trivia?
I was so good in trivia yesterday. I am all ready to put my... I'll double down on trivia today.
Okay. The Los Angeles Kings have 3 regulation losses at home.
Yeah.
Who did they lose to?
Ooh, this is a trick question. Didn't Buffalo beat them?
Yes, of
okay,
course.
Yes, I was going to say. Sweep. Yes. So... I'm going to say like something like Buffalo, San Jose, Anaheim. Something stupid, right? Like three
Buffalo,
teams.
Pittsburgh, Vancouver.
Okay, Pittsburgh. Well, Buffalo, Pittsburgh are two of the worst teams in the East right now, like when you look at record-wise. So it's surprising and not because you're bringing it up in trivia. Usually that means something unexpected
is part of the answer. It ties in, obviously, with tonight's opponent because the Ducks are here and Buffalo launched into the Western trip with the win in L.A., then the overtime win against Anaheim, and then the 4-2 win against San Jose. And it dovetails nicely off the limited action in the NHL last night, which was 2 games, a stunning comeback by the Jets again against the Sharks, and a dominant, like maybe the most dominant third period I've seen from any team this year. The Kings roared back on Vegas. They were down 2-1, but it felt a little worse after how bad they were in the second period. They put up 4 and win 5-2 and remain with that incredible home record now of 19-3-2. But Buffalo still has the longest active home winning streak, and they've won 5 in a row, and they've outscored their opponents, Marty, 26-12 in those 5 wins. Right now, the Sabres rank 10th in the NHL offensively. They're up against an improved Ducks team, but a Ducks team that still ranks dead last offensively and is without Trevor Zegras for 3 games. And Zegras has been there and arguably been the catalyst for them being 7-1-1 in their last 9 games.
Yeah, so, yeah, Zegras has definitely been a big part of it, and, yeah, they're going to miss him. I do like some of their young players in Leo Carlson and Cutter Gauthier and Mason McTavish and some of the prospects that they have played a pretty big role.
Yeah.
But for me, when it comes to the Anaheim Ducks, it's like how good Lucas Dostal has played for them and how good defensively this team has looked at, you know, with their goaltender really doing a big, you know, a big difference for them. So look, is Anaheim out of it? Absolutely not. They're 6 points out of Vancouver, and Vancouver is a big question mark moving forward. You know, is Thatcher Demko going to come back? What's Elias Pettersson situation? There's so much there. So I think that what we're going to get out of Anaheim tonight is, don't sleep on them, and don't sleep on the fact that, look, Trevor Zegras is not in the lineup, but you've got a lot of other talented players that can play a big role for them. So, yeah, this is a very big test and matchup for me when you look at the Sabres being able to just push forward again, especially since we don't know what the lineup is going to look like for the Sabres. They're going to have Zucker and Tuck in the lineup? Are they going to go 11-7? Are they going to... they're going to be healthy. Like, what is that going to look like for the Buffalo Sabres?
What do you think it's going to look like?
I think it's going to look like that they're going to have the same lineup as last game. I think Zucker and Tuck will play. If there would be one that wouldn't, I think it may be Alex Tuck, just to say, hey, you know what, take an extra day and then we'll get you back on Thursday and the weekend. Mm-hmm. Zucker block that shot and return and you know, yeah, obviously you take the skates off after the game and then all of a sudden everything swells up, right? And the next day everything is very swollen. But I would expect Jason Zucker to be in. This is not only for him, but for the Sabres, it's a big moment. Look, it's, you know, 10 days away or so from the trade deadline and Zucker's a pending UFA. Like, he probably wants to play and wants to show everybody he's good,
I would think. And obviously, you always feel, I think you could say it differently from your professional position and experience, but there's just there's obviously an urgency based on the calendar, but there's just a good feel, and you never want to be part of not being a continued catalyst for that home success.
Yeah, no, I mean, what's the continued catalyst that can be sustainable? Early in the season, you know, we had that four groups, right? Like the depth scoring, the defensemen, producing the offense or the defense, like goaltender being a star. Like for me, Lindy Ruff has said it when he laid out his plan of we're going to get 7 points out of every 10 to give ourselves a chance at the last three games of the season. The biggest thing for me is dropping the goals against number. And if you can do that, if you can get it to just below 3, and look, 3 in the National Hockey League is about average, but if you can get to 2.85, 2.80, whatnot, like you're stepping in the right direction and you're giving yourself a chance, because the offense, I believe, is going to be there. The offense, either from, you know, Thompson and Peterka and Kulik or depth or the defense with Rasmus Dahlin, it's going to be there. But can you keep pucks out of your net? And now you've got...
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
For BFR, I would say the mission and the vision is pushing the limits on creativity and fashion here in Buffalo and giving a space for designers and creators alike to express themselves.
We're actively redefining what the future of Buffalo can be by highlighting what's already here. We've got a very proud city, proud people, and it's about giving them more reasons to be proud for Buffalo by Buffalo.
Black History celebration tonight here at KeyBank Center amidst Black History Month. And what you just heard and is available on social and Sabres website is really an advance, if you will, for what will be a big part of our second intermission tonight. And we certainly encourage people to stay in their seats and really take in what Buffalo Fashion Runway has been accomplishing. And Marty, I've been an active follower of everything they've been doing the last few years. And I can tell you, as an older person who has lived in a lot of cities, I have never seen an undertaking, a desire to create this type of change in a community from an artistic, creative sense, the way I've seen it through Buffalo Fashion Runway. Now, we were introduced to Idris Wajed a few years back, created Black History Month jersey for us. Also, what I'm wearing, the some of the merch of theirs, which is on their website, Eat Off Art, which is taking Black History Month and continuing to remind that it's more than just February. But Idris and eatoffart.com and Idris's incredibly amazing artistic, in her own right, wife, Alexa Joan, and you can find her stuff at alexajoan.com. They have two of the most brilliant children. And Iman and Emeka, you just heard Iman in that video at the start of it. And the two of them, you follow them and their brilliance. Like, Marty, I talk about this, their stuff with my kids all the time and what they create on social, and they get blown away by the impact. And so for them to be tied in through Buffalo Fashion Runway and the Sabres and the jerseys, and to reflect upon and never forget those who were killed in the Tops shooting almost 3 years ago now. I just hope that people who are in the building tonight really have the opportunity to not only see the video and the presentation in the second intermission, but see what they're doing here on the concourse tonight when they come in the building.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a big night for the organization and for the community. And you talk about, you know, the artistic side of it. Like, Buffalo is a great sports town. We all know that. Bills Mafia, Sabres, like Bandits, Bisons, like whatnot. Like, it's a great sports town. But it is a very artistic town when it comes to architecture, music, just the arts in general. So it's great to be able to continue building that and to celebrate, you know, Black History Month tonight with, you know, with a lot of our special guests that we're going to have. So, look, this is why Buffalo is a special place to live. And we've got some great, great people in the community that wants to keep breaking ground and, you know, just establish new ideas. And to me, that's a great thing. So, yeah, tonight is going to be special. And we hope that the fans are there, because it is always better when they're loud, when they're involved, and when they, you know, when they show up.
And for those walking into the arena, they'll probably hear the Dale Tolliver Quartet, a group that's affiliated with Colored Musicians Club and Museum, which has just been in celebration mode, anniversary mode of their history. That it's, if you have not taken the time, understand how long and how important historically this Colored Musicians Club is, not only here in Buffalo, but nationally. And then in game, in arena, we'll have DNA performing, which is just, you know, it's this beautiful funk soul pop infusion. And again, if you look for DNA, and it's spelled D-I-Y-E-N-E with a little accent aigu for you, Marty, on the final E.
To say that before the movie Gremlins, like Gremlins in the Lines is a very common use in TV and radio.
Fly in the ointment?
Fly in the ointment, maybe? I don't know. But before the movie Gremlins, I wonder if anybody would say, hey, we got Gremlins in the Lines, if it made sense.
Yeah. So, making sense of both teams' rosters tonight, because the Ducks have to adapt without Zegras and a three-game suspension. And you were teasing earlier that your hunch, because you're a big hunch guy, is that we may well see Zucker and Tuck tonight,
yes,
as they try to keep this going, winners of five of the last six.
Yeah, that would be my thinking, right? I mean, this is playoffs, right? Lindy Ruff says, this is our playoffs. We need to make a push. Would Alex Tuck say, it's game one in the playoffs, I want to play? 100%. Would Jason Zucker say it's game one of the playoffs? I want to play 100%. I think both of those veterans know what's at stake. Mm-hmm. And being in the lineup makes the Sabres better because it affects their depth. It affects the second line with Ryan McLeod, who had two goals last game. Like, it's right. It's a big part of moving forward. So if one of them miss, okay, I can see that being, okay, we'll fill it in. Maybe we'll go 11-7. Maybe we'll insert, you know, somebody else in the lineup. But you don't want both of them to miss. And that's that would be a big problem. And when you look at Anaheim, I mentioned the forwards earlier and some of the great forwards. Let's not forget that they acquired Jacob Trouba earlier in the year, right? Mm-hmm. That was a pretty significant trade. The Rangers are trading their captain, and there was a lot of noise around it. He went to the Anaheim Ducks. So now you have Radko Gudas, you have Jacob Trouba, two very physical defensemen. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of need, you know, big bodies like Alex Tuch to be on the ice to have an impact on the forecheck, and the savvy veteran that Jason Zucker is to be able to have an impact. So I think those two are very important to the Sabres and their success against the Ducks tonight.
Your most impressive trivial answer, sorry, trivia answer yesterday
was very trivial.
Was Ryan, it might be Ryan McLeod has fallen into second place in shooting percentage because Mark Scheifele got the OT winner last night, and he doesn't shoot a lot. So Scheifele's at 25.6, McLeod's at 25. And that is just a follow-up from yesterday. But what do you like when you look at McLeod, who's going to be RFA, but more Zucker, Greenway, potential UFAs? Like, how do you prioritize here what needs to happen moving well forward, i.e. summertime and next year, and or imminently pre-trade deadline, of which we're like 10 days out?
For me, Ryan McLeod is pretty easy because he doesn't become a UFA until the 27-28 season. So there's 2 years mm-hmm. before he becomes UFA. So maybe you take him to arbitration for 1 year to see, hey, what do we got in Ryan McLeod? He's hitting career numbers already in goals and, you know, continue to move forward. So, you know, you get a one-year deal in arbitration to know exactly what you got. Or if you want to work a long-term deal, it better work for the team's advantage. So to me, Ryan McLeod is pretty easy. You want to take a longer look at him. How does he fit? You're getting that opportunity. With Zucker and Greenway, both of them being UFA, you have to weigh in what the potential return would be compared to what you want to move forward with. I think Greenway and Zucker would be two very, very big parts of the Sabres moving forward. And maybe Jason Zucker, in my opinion, a little bit more than Jordan Greenway for different reasons. I think Zucker has a little bit more of the experience factor. He's older, obviously, so maybe that can't be a long-term deal that's you're looking at short-term. But he has more production, obviously, and he fits better in the top six. But if you're looking at the way the Sabres are constructed with the talent that they have in Thompson and Kulik and, you know, Quinn and Peterka, well, maybe you need more of a Jordan Greenway to be that guy that stays because he's more of a bottom six, a penalty killer, a physical. The injuries, like, they worry me because we've missed a lot of Jordan Greenway over the last couple of years. So that bothers me and worries me a little bit. But you always have to weigh in the return. I mean, if a team is willing to give you a big, big return for either Zucker or Greenway and mm-hmm. their UFA over the summer, and you can bring him back if that works, I think you have to really consider it because of the position you're in right now.
Well, we said yesterday that you've got six games before the trade deadline.
Yes.
Hypothetically, if you won all six, do we need to change how we're asking the question? And for a team that has someone with still very limited experience as your number one center, if you won the next six games, would you not feel compelled to try to chase down one of the many names that continues to be on trade boards across the NHL, especially someone who might be at the center position?
I think that you might be compelled, and it's not just because of this season. It may be moving forward, and that would include a hockey trade, in my opinion. So if you think that you have Jiří Kulík as one of your top two centers and Ryan McLeod probably better slotted as your third-line center, where does that leave Dylan Cousins, right? So he's not been in your top two lines. He's not been in your top six.
Well, he has, just not as much recently.
Not
right?
recently, yes. Yeah. And I think that moving forward, that's, to me, that would be the hockey trade. Can you acquire a top first line center by moving off of a Dylan Cousins? I don't think that you are going in to get a rental. You're not getting a rental center. You're getting a hockey trade center that will help this year and in the years to come. So that, to me, would be the little, you know, kind of parameters I would set on it. I'm not going after a rental, a UFA at the end of the year. I'm either talking to somebody and saying, could that be an extension attached to it? And maybe that's the way to go, but I'm not just getting somebody for now until the end of the season. I mean, you win the next six. I get it. Is it unlikely? Even if they went 5-1.
Why, you know, like why is any one, of it unlikely? Like, it's the NHL. I mean...
When's the last time they had a 7-game winning streak?
It doesn't matter.
That's the thing. I know. It could always
happen. They had a 13-game losing streak. And yet, everybody would have assumed that at worst coming into this year, they're a 500 team. Most people expected between 500 and probably slightly north of 90 points.
They probably expected between 86 and 96 points, give or take.
So within the parameters of 500, and you drop 13 without a win, and everything we've seen otherwise, like, I'm not scared of thinking that they could even do this. Like, to me, it's the NHL. It's literally very possible because of the nature, the evenness of play, San Jose's recent record notwithstanding, and Chicago's very poor play, again, of late. Most teams, I think, are capable of going on runs. So I'm going to be a little bit of an antagonist here and keep asking this question, that if they won the next six games, what, in your opinion, would the standings look like in the Eastern Conference?
I think they'd be 5 points out if they won the next six games. If they got 12 points and made themselves be at 63, I think you would probably be 5 points out. I think the Ottawa Senators...
I think they'd probably still be more, a little bit, but...
Maybe you could still be more, but I think the Ottawa Senators are dealing with injuries and you know, I mean, maybe it's Columbus that gets hot a little bit, but I think that those teams would be probably around 68 to 70.
So
you're probably 5 to 7 points out. But even if you go 5-1, Duffer, in the next six, that gets you back to 500.
Okay.
That puts you exactly at 500. You'd be 28, 28, and 5. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would be looking at 21 games for the rest of the year to say, okay, we got to get on a run here. So I think that the next six games may dictate. And it's looking at it through, you know, some really, really bright colored glasses, right, to say, hey, 5-1, 6-0. But that may give you the boost that you want if you're healthy and if everybody is really playing the way they should.
But if you won all six, why, and still had a quarter of the season to go, wouldn't you think renting is a fair approach? This organization has had countless assets at their disposal for a long time, and guess what? Still does. So, yeah.
I think we're going to use the term
"own rental."
This
because I feel like but what is the market clamoring for, and what has the team said about this season? So, keep pushing, keep trying. Like, and I'm not saying they're not going to be trying if this doesn't happen. All I'm saying is, we And when I say we, I think you and I even get lumped into, whether it's a question that typically appears on social or is published in newspapers or might even be a regular occurrence here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I think this conversation always starts with, do you hang on to? I'm just trying to say, can't we talk about it in a different way?
I totally get what you're saying. Here's the way I look at it. So if you say we're getting a rental player to help us, you know, down the stretch in the last 20, 21 games.
What if Ryan Strome was available?
Okay. Well, yeah. But now I'm looking at it in plus minus kind of like, okay, so you have two pending UFAs and you're going to acquire another maybe pending UFA, another rental. And
not necessarily, but
that's why I'm saying a hockey trade is probably more what I would say. Somebody that has at least a year or two left of their contracts where you're acquiring somebody, maybe you're giving up assets. But the own rental term is big here, because I think that if you say we're close, we got to where we wanted to be before March 7th, we've pushed, we've won seven in a row, we've won, what would that be, 11 of the last 12? You know, you're looking at it and say, okay, we're keeping Greenway, we're keeping Zucker, and we're making a hockey trade to acquire somebody to help. Not a rental trade, because now you end up with Zucker, Greenway, and a rental that could all walk away
at the end of the season.
I'm not saying it's something wrong, but you can't. And I know people are going to say, okay, this could be 14 years in a row. Like, put all your eggs in the same basket, make it happen. I think you would put yourself in a position that you have a 1.8% chance of making the playoffs. Maybe by March 7, you're at 4% chance of making the playoffs. Are you going to put all your eggs in the 4% basket and potentially, you know, mortgage next season and the ones after?
Yes.
I know you're a yes. I know you're a yes. I don't know that I'm there. I mean, you're going to have
eggs are expensive. I get it. Eggs are very expensive right now.
My chickens are giving me lots of eggs. I'm not sure that I want to put them all in that basket.
Well, I think there's just a lot of interesting ways to continue this conversation, and not the least of which is, your American Hockey League team is number one based on a number of reasons, not the least of which is impressive contributions from very young players that still have significant interest from 31 other teams.
Yes.
You're flush with picks. There's prospects not in the American Hockey League yet. And then there's... Then there's, I guess the only real word is perception, outside and inside, meaning inside the market and outside of the market.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think, do you think it would be, obviously there's a risk here because there's no guarantee if you go for it, you're going to make it. So that is automatically going to lead to naysayers down the road.
Yes.
But in the moment, do you not think that they would be lauded for being aggressive if they have a great next six games and do what we just laid out?
Is aggressive reckless?
Aggressive is buying, not selling. It's as simple as that. And it doesn't have to be reckless. Massive.
You want to be aggressive. You don't want to be reckless. That's the thing. And you know, so
nobody ever said they were going to be reckless, though.
No. But aggressive could be considered reckless if you're saying, hey, you know what? We're going for it. You're 6 or 7 points out of a playoff spot. Your odds of making it are very low. You need to get on a massive run. There's two teams that are playing at 700 point percentage this season, Winnipeg Jets and the Washington Capitals. The Sabres have to do that now for the rest of the year and more to be able to get in, right? So you have to be the best team in the NHL from now until the end of the season to potentially say you're giving yourself a chance at getting in. So I think that when you put it that way, right now, where we sit here on Tuesday before playing the Anaheim Ducks tonight, you're saying that would be reckless. But okay. If you win the next six and you're on March 7th and you're in Florida about getting ready, you know, you played Tampa the night before, you won that six in a row, and now you're getting ready to play the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, Florida 2 years ago were a point from not making the playoffs. They got to the finals. They won the cup the next year. Can you be aggressive? Yes. I still think being aggressive would be going through a hockey trade. And I'm going to continue to say, look, think of who do you have that maybe you would move to get yourself in a better place, to go get a big fish, right? If you want to make it, go get a big fish. I think there is a hockey trade to be made. Cousins' name is obviously out there. Byram's name is out there. Power's name's out there. I'm not saying you got to trade them, but I'm thinking this is what people are going to call and ask for if you want to make a big trade and a big splash before March 7th.
Yeah, but that's you're saying that because of what's been talked about for a couple of months, and that is Cousins and the rumor cycle. But again, to try to change the narrative here, if two teams that had been talking potentially and something that might have involved Cousins, if you get to this place a week from Friday and you say, look, Cousins is off the table, but we have three significant assets, and it could be your first rounder and a couple of players in Rochester, you can insert names, status, however you like. My inclination is to think that there are the teams around the league that would bite on that if all of a sudden that kind of young talent became available. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think there may be some teams that would bite, but what are you getting in return? And that's things, right? Like those
something
teams
to help. That's
yeah, something and I can't to help, but you got to look at teams that are probably not making the playoffs. Like they're not
correct.
Teams that are in the playoffs. Place they're not giving out a piece for future assets, so you got to look at teams that are on the play. Right now there's so many teams that are like we're still in the mix, so I think that not only will the Sabres record over the next six games dictate that, other teams' record will dictate that, who is still within reach. And that's
okay, we'll
be
go back to the standings. Let's look at the East again and recognize what you just said and the number of teams in the league that have played above 700, which is Washington and Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. But one of the two wildcard teams in the East, Detroit, has also been playing at a level far beyond that since Todd McLellan took over. So maybe it's unrealistic to think that they're going to have a drop now because they seem to be way better under Todd McLellan with, save for some defensive lapses over the weekend where they ended up getting 1 point on Saturday after blowing a 3-1 lead, and they ended up getting 2 points on Sunday after blowing a 3-goal lead. Let's maybe just say that Detroit could be really, really hard to catch. So then we're down to one spot in the Eastern Conference, right? We've talked glowingly about Columbus all year. Hard to imagine they're going to stop playing. By the way, Detroit and Columbus this weekend, home and home, including outdoors at the Ohio State. So what a home and home series that is when you consider there's 2 points between Columbus and Detroit right now. Who picked this as a playoff chase home and home at the start of the year?
We didn't realize that this outdoor game was going to have that meaning.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing for the league.
So I would say Buffalo would have, in my opinion, to have cleared Pittsburgh, Philly, and Montreal to be, and maybe even the New York Islanders to be.
They play Montreal twice, they play Philly twice, they play Pittsburgh, they play Ottawa twice, and have games in hand. These are things that I just like to...
I'm saying before, like, the March 7 break.
No, no, I know. I'm just talking in big picture. If you're trying to envision, well, how would you ever close the gap here? Okay, so if Detroit is likely in, then let's just focus on Ottawa, which we tried to do yesterday, and then the trickle down from there. And all those other teams have warts, obviously. That's why they are where they are in the standing. The Rangers looked awful on Sunday. I think they looked worse than they did on Saturday. And the Penguins couldn't score against Shesterkin. And once again, poor Penguin goaltending reared its ugly head as Blomqvist couldn't make a save. And the Rangers get the win. So I don't know what that means for the Rangers, but it was kind of alarming that they weren't better as a team on Sunday after the showing on Saturday here in Buffalo?
They'll get themselves. They're a good team. They're just they're playing bad. You look at their roster. I like their roster. They're just playing so bad right now in their execution and their coverage.
Since game 18 of the year.
I know. They've not been able to fix it, and it's bad habits, and it's terrible. And they, you know, Shesterkin is bailing them out. My only thing, Duffer, is I know people are going to laugh. And I was with the Sabres in, you know, 2001, 2002 when Hasek, you know, moved on. And, you know, we're kind of at the deadline and we're like, hey, we could use some help here and try to get in and whatnot. And you trade for Bobby Corkum. Yeah, right? Like, I mean, we don't need to do that. We don't need to add just for the sake of adding. If you're going to add, if you're going on a run now and you're going to add, add something significant. Big, like hockey trade or not, add something significant, not only to make a difference this year, to make a difference down the road, and tell everybody in the lineup that's there. Tell the Tage Thompson and Dahlin and everybody, hey, we're not just looking at this year. You rewarded us with, you know, 11 out of 12. We're going to reward you with something.
Right. That's exactly how I would have phrased it, but didn't want to give away the answer 5 minutes ago when we started this talking point.
You mentioned Bobby Corkum. You were going to say you don't want a Bobby Corkum type trade.
I like Bob Corkum. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
but he's not the guy I would acquire right now in 2025.
No.
Correct. Sabres Road Crew Party just happens to fall on the same day as the trade deadline, which was just talked about a lot. We're not swapping out Edwards, Gehr, Korab, Lorenz, Moeller, Ray, Turgeon, any of those names. And there'll be more, undoubtedly. Tickets are just $20, sabres.com/roadcrew. Come join us in Lauderdale. It's going to be great. And if you're coming down, make a 4 or 5 day excursion. Go see them in Tampa on the Thursday. See them in you know, Sunrise on the Saturday, and squeeze in the Sabres Road Crew, our annual amazing, you know, gathering of Sabres fans wherever we happen to do this event across the NHL. So again, sabres.com/roadcrew. We are back after this on Sabres Live.